Okay, we'll start that recording again. Okay, so now, so we'll have the mock papers here. So what I was saying to you is, and there'll be two questions from each section. So that hopefully will help you in terms of your revision session, if you know what I mean. So the questions that we will have, there will be two questions from each module. So if there is something like DSOs that you don't like, which some people didn't, that's okay. A lot of people don't. Now, I will go through it this morning. Yeah, calculating DSOs, I have some exercises I brought with me now today, and I'll go through it with you. So there will be two questions on DSOs and targets. Now, if you get it, that's simple. And so that's your 50% in the bag before you even start. So, you know, just relax. So if you get the DSOs, questions 7 and 8 will be about DSOs and the different methods. If you don't like it, you have a choice of 4 questions from 6. Is that okay? So you need to study the other areas. So that's that. So what would I say is, the questions, just to let you know as well, in the Advanced Credit Management, are not going to be detailed. We're not going to pick one page on one book and ask you to describe in detail. Are you with me? So the questions are more global kind of stuff. So in terms of, you know, say on the Happy Customers book, you know, just describe the overview of the approach or something of that nature. So it's more sort of a global question than list the 4 examples in the page. You know, you don't have to get down to minute details. That's not what it's about. Are you with me? So in terms of, it's about views, it's about whatever. So, and obviously in that book, customer orientation is a very important part. And just in case you missed it, that's your first clue. Is that all right? So thank you very much. Just make sure you're all awake now this morning. Is that okay? So that's that. So the main tips. So what are the main tips and suggestions for effective customer orientated credit management? So look, there it is. So if we know what the tips are, we know what that is. The integrated view of credit management. So you have, that's in your mock paper as well, isn't it? The integrated view. Yeah, so that's that. So and the mock paper is giving you the style of the paper as well. So that is what that is. On the other section as well. Ah, good morning.
Sure, I'm sitting next door. Paul.
How are you?
Hi. And then he's doing that. I'm thinking, this isn't right.
Hi, because we're worried about you. You are fine. You're fine. Yeah, good. Okay. So we're just going through the mock paper and just giving you some pointers on the real paper. So that is that. So overview as well. Yeah, in terms of the two questions then, so what was the other areas? Oh yeah, the 6 P's. So again, yes, well obviously you have to know what they are, because that's kind of important. And then you've done assignments on it anyway. So just an overview of those in terms of, you know, the importance of them or how to integrate them or whatever. Now, I suppose being diploma students, you're probably more required to think than to remember. So that's why it's not going to be, you know, list the 14 things on page 72. It's not going to be that kind of question. It's going to be discuss or in your opinion, which is the most important or whatever. Exactly how to apply them. Yeah, rather than list them.
Yeah.
You know, but as I say, in terms of the 6 P's, yes, you would have to know what they are. So that is that. The audio thing, yeah, I know some people had some problems. Y'all got to it in the end anyway. So did you enjoy it? It was something I did over a couple of days.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's given you some thoughts and ideas. It's something I should do more of, because I know people hate reading. And it was just an idea I had.
I actually found the audio much better than the audio.
My
Yeah.
You should actually give the option. Some people are not great listeners.
Well, you learned that in collections, different processing styles. So so maybe I should bring that into play.
Give them the option,
yeah.
Do you want the audio?
Do I do any TED talks? Yeah. No. That's something that I'd love, because I love all that kind of stuff anyway, in terms of, you know, just how the head works and how you achieve stuff and all that kind of stuff. So, and I've...
The audio.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I could polish it up and do a lot with it. And I have a lot more material in that area as well. And I think it is something that people are interested in, you know, certainly, yeah. But you went one further. I don't know whether you want to.
Yeah.
So that's that. So it is. It is something that's, and even still, like when I'm sitting around over the summer, doing nothing as you do, that's one of the things about your training business. You know, July and August, you might as well go away, if you could afford it. But yeah, I was even thinking of recording the notes.
Yeah, that would be brilliant. Because you can put them in the car.
Put them in the car and just
It's all about immersion, isn't it?
And just listen to it. And because I listen to guys on the car. That's what I do. And that's where your TED Talks and all these motivational guys. So that's where I get some of the mad
notes
ideas.
I found it great just to rewind it, go back a little bit. Yeah. Did I have all the main bits for that or
Yeah, no, I'm glad now you like
but
that.
You know what you should do also? You could record, you could speak into your mobile and then just play it in the car, you know?
Listen to your own voice.
Yeah, I get you in that one, I'd be the same.
Yeah,
people hate hearing their own voice.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, that's something that we need to do. So look, I'm delighted that you liked it. I say I have a lot more of that kind of material. I would read on average a book a week, just on various, and like obviously you go and dip into mad areas as well. So like, don't take everything I say as serious. You know,
I
read
some. Where do you find the time to do that?
Usually early morning. Usually early morning. I block off an hour for myself every day, and usually when nobody else is around. So I know I'm a sad person. It can be between 6 and 7. So that's that. So I just have a kind of routine where I just find within the day. You get caught up with everything else as the day goes on, and I just block off sort of an hour, just get my head in the right place. And in terms of goal setting and what to do, people spend too much time worrying, and it's such an awful waste of time. I'd prefer to do something about it, and that's where I find a piece of paper and a pen. And if you sit down in the quiet of the morning with a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or whatever your chosen poison is, and just sit down at the quiet of the kitchen and think, okay, what are the issues that are coming up? What am I going to do? How am I going to tackle this?
Yeah.
It
would be unusual now for a lot of managers in their job to get emails off the CEO at 4 o'clock in the morning, because when he can't sleep, he gets up during the night, gets it all out on paper, sends the email off. He doesn't know how to use delay the email. And he just sends them off, so they might get.
He's also showing off, though. He's also showing off, and I'll tell you something else. If that guy can't sleep at night, he's not coping.
That's actually banned in France now, isn't it?
Banned in France, should be.
What?
Really?
You're not allowed to email outside working hours.
Yeah, that is probably your very best investment in yourself. Is that okay? That is called a moleskin notebook. They are expensive as notebooks go. They are about, I think they're 13 or 15 quid, which is a lot for a notebook, a blank notebook. The great thing about them is they are indestructible. So you can have that in your pocket for 6 months and it'll be as good as the day you put it into your pocket. Okay, they are absolutely indestructible. And I would carry that. Now, if anybody got to read this, a man in a white coat would come along and take me away. Is that okay? Because I've all sorts of mad stuff going on in here. So just as I get thoughts, ideas, plans, I'll just jot them down. And that, I say, I keep it with me all the time, because even if my family got it now, they would think, what's going on in his head, you know?
That's a great idea, actually. Because even when I'm reading the stuff here, I'd be like, oh, Jesus, I could walk that way, and then I get into one, and then I'm so preoccupied.
Absolutely.
You're trying to think of what you're thinking about.
Yeah, yeah. And
The way you were actually thinking about it. Because sometimes when you're thinking, you sit back and think, you can be clearer than when you get into work.
100%, because you get caught up in all the noise and all the activity
going on. And then you get sidetracked with what's actually going on. Then you're like, what way was I thinking about that? How would that apply again? But when you're thinking about the home, you're more clear.
Write it down. I'm a huge fan. And I would write everything down. And that's how you keep track of things as well. So we write things down, and as I say, just even mad ideas. And like I've been doing this now for years.
Many of them
you know, well, I've loads of them. And I have them stashed away at home now in my secret part.
They're like flowers in the attic now when you find them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I know. And it would really now piss me off if somebody finds them, publishes them, and makes a fortune out of it. And I don't get to enjoy any of it. So maybe I should start publishing stuff before I go. So that's that. I would highly recommend. And even just to get your head together. And I'm not just talking about work here, as you know from the recordings. I'm talking about personal life as well. You know, sometimes in work, goals are set for us. In our personal lives, goals aren't set for us. So on that basis, it's up to me to set my own goal. Yeah, so this is where I am, this is where I want to go. Remember, here and there. And as long as it keeps you amused, sure, what the hell? You know, that's it, and you have a bit of fun doing it. I read a great thing last week, I'll just share it with you. I thought it was fantastic. I don't know if I ever saw it on LinkedIn. I'll have to like it and share it. This guy asked a question, and I love questions. And his question was, if you had €86,400 in your bank account, see that, did you?
No.
If you had €86,400 in your bank account and somebody took a tenner on you, would you get so upset and annoyed that you would throw the other €86,390 at them?
No.
Would you? Stupid, isn't it? Stupid. Coincidentally, or maybe not, there are 86,400 seconds in a day. So if somebody annoys or upsets or hurts you for 10 seconds, why give them the rest of the day?
Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
I like it. And I think in credit control, a 10-second neggy encounter can have the effect of ruining our day.
It can throw you right off.
Oh, yeah. And it can upset you. And, you know, yeah, it can. And particularly if that's a boss or somebody in if you think, why do I bother? And then your whole day goes out the window. So we all have those experiences. So I just thought it was a great story. I really liked it. Why give them the...
It also starts a reaction. I find that you get sidetracked and you're like, now I have to... You feel that you have to sort this out. So you get sidetracked. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Monkeys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the Paul's course, right?
What?
Like in Paul's course, that was, you know, the whole thing about time management and everything, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and
you know, like you say, this is what I'm doing today. This, and somebody else comes along and gives you.
Yeah.
Okay, if that person if that person is your boss, then that's fine because I'm here to work for my boss.
Sure.
So okay, so I can live with that, and my boss will always be at a higher priority than me, and that's fine. I can live with that. If it's other people, I cannot solve everybody else's problems. You know, So that's it. So look, and because in credit control, all the problems tend to end up on our desk anyway. So if anybody does anything wrong anywhere along the cycle, a customer will say, I'm not paying for that. So they do end up as your problems. You have to, But what we have to do is...
So the 6 pages you think are going to come up then?
Oh, more than come up.
Okay.
I can guarantee that.
Right, okay.
I can guarantee that, yes. Because that was a full module in itself.
Okay.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
So so on that basis, and not only will it come up, out of the 8 questions of the exam, there'll be 2 questions on it. Okay? So one is a kind of an overview, and I'll point you in the right direction then for the other one. In terms of, do you remember there was a section on relationships, on building strong relationships? I would read that very carefully if I was doing the exam. Is that okay? And I think, if I remember correctly, those 12 key ingredients. I'd be sorry now you took that call. I know you get to listen back, so it's all right. Yeah, you won't miss out. So that's that. So, yeah. And that was... I hope it's a book that you can take on board. I like the concept of it. And certainly working with the people I worked with on it, it was quite fantastic. It was... We got together a couple of times. It was like a United Nations meeting, you know what I mean? People were, who's this mad group, you know? And it sounded like a joke, like, you know, an Irishman, a Mexican, a Native American, and all that kind of stuff, you know? But it was good crack. So anyway, so that's that. So they're the 2 areas on that. On the happy customers, I've kind of given you that as well in terms of your... And the mock paper wouldn't be a million miles from the real paper in terms of the happy customers one, which is fine. The audio, yeah, and I'll have to start doing more of that as well. So,
builders in my house, that's a bit of a, that should be the end of it.
It's grand. Decisions.
Oh yes, new kitchens.
Ah, sure, look, it has to be done. So that's that. So what you missed while you were out was on the profit secret, I dropped a little hint in terms of that there's 12 ingredients for building strong relationships. I'd read them very carefully. Is that okay? So that is that. Then in terms of the audio, the exam, because it is an advanced credit management exam, so there was 3 sections on the thing. So there's managing yourself, there's managing whatever. So the questions, the exam questions will be on the function because it is advanced credit management. Is that okay? So I won't be asking you questions about priorities or home or any of that kind of stuff. So it will be about, you know, managing the department. Strengths and weakness. I love that definition of strengths and weaknesses, by the way. You know, that a strength is something that makes you feel strong.
Yeah.
It's just totally new thinking. And I think it's just so good because, you know, there are so many people. I remember there was a conversation between, I can't remember, who Steffi Graf, she was a tennis player. Was it Andre Agassi she had a liaison with? And apparently the first time they met, they had a conversation. And she said something to him along the lines of, I know this might sound funny, but I hate tennis. And he said, we all hate tennis.
Wow.
I can't play anymore.
You know? Isn't that something else? And anyway, I don't know whether you're guilty of this. I always think the tennis prodigies are a result of pushy parents. And same with swimming and all that kind of stuff. So any of those sort of intense sports, it's usually the parents trying to live their life through their children, which is not.
And you can see that besides the football pitch on a Saturday morning.
And the dads screaming blue murder at the... And they're 6. Will you leave him alone? He's having a run around. And it's usually the athletic dad with the kid with 2 left feet.
Exactly.
You know,
I know a guy that has a little kid in MMA, and he's brilliant. And he'd go into a little tournament, probably into club tournament, and he probably, the little fella get the better of him.
Yeah.
And the father would be like, he wouldn't be a, and the fella can't do a push. He couldn't walk from day to day.
But he's living his life through his kid.
Yeah, but so pushy on.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's terrible.
I think the damage parents do to kids is, now I probably do it with the best intentions in the world. You know, you just have to respect each person, and each person is who they are and what they are, and let them be who they are. And, you know, maybe that's another podcast at some stage. I didn't get to that level in the course. If you ever have half an hour to spare, and I'm talking about reading a book a week, and it's sometimes it's the same book I read, by the way, and one book that I have read about 50 times is a little book by a guy called Deepak Chopra called The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
Oh, have you come across it?
I've heard of it, I haven't got it yet.
Oh my God. Now, spiritual puts a lot of people off. Going, we'd be, you know, chanting alms with our legs crossed or something of that nature. So it's none of that. It's very, very practical stuff. And the seven secrets, and it's not spiritual, it's living secrets, you know, and they're not even secrets. the way he puts it together, there's just the seven little sections in it. And if you've never done anything else, and if you could follow that, it's just awesome. It's just awesome. So, I'm a huge fan of that. Now, if you see another book by Deepak Chopra, don't say, oh, that's Declan's friend, I'll read that. Because he has some mad stuff now, you know, in terms of where he goes mad. So, yeah, I would highly recommend that. Anyway, that's not even there. So, again, on the audio, the exam questions will be faced on the function one, the others for your own benefit and whatever. And so, certainly, strengths, weaknesses, learning styles, you know, about managing people and all that kind of stuff. And I hope that you get to put this into practice in a real life management role, because it is absolutely transformational. You know, it's not... One thing I learned in the last couple of weeks, which I thought was fabulous, and it actually came from one of my certificate students, was talking about, they were talking about being a collector, and the fact that you fell into credit control in the first place, you feel like an imposter. And a lot of people feel that. Apparently, one of the biggest trainings now for senior management is called imposter syndrome. They've actually put a name on it now. So even the MD of a multinational sits there in his office on his own going, geez, what am I doing here? They do doubt themselves. And I think the more insecure you are as a boss, and if you're up at 4 o'clock in the morning, that would tell me there's something. The harder it is to work for them, because, you know, a guy who's structured, who knows what he's doing, who has a plan, who has delegated properly, that we know these are the 20 building blocks to get from here to there, and these are the five people who are going to bring me in those directions. That's the job of a manager, to plan, to organise, and then to make sure that each of these guys is working to their strengths and doing stuff that they enjoy doing on a daily basis. So to me, the job of a manager is not doing stuff. And having made the transition from credit controller to credit manager myself, the hardest role, I know you've just come into management recently, congratulations, the hardest transition is not doing it, you know, because you can do it and you're natural and you do it very well. That's why you became a manager, so your natural instinct is to jump in and do it, whereas as a manager you have to just stand back and think, hold on, my job as a manager here is to get it done, it's not to do it. So if a problem does arise, then my first question is, well, which of my team members should be doing this? And if the answer is, well, none of them, well, then I haven't done my job as delegation. So now the next question, well, which of them should be doing it, or which of them is best suited to do it? And then come in, time for a chat. Something I want to show you. And even though it's going to take me 2 hours to show them, and I do it in 20 minutes myself, I'll do it you know, it'd be 20 minutes every week, whereas the 2 hours invested is increasing your knowledge, your position, your doing stuff that you like doing, and you'll enjoy working with me. And then stuff you don't like doing, I'll take that and move it somewhere else. So hard, easy when you're sitting here, not so easy when we're sitting at the desk. So just, and the more you can stand back from things as a manager, the better the manager you'll be. And again, paradoxically, the more dispensable you are, the easier it is to promote you.
What's that mean?
The more dispensable you are, the more you're not needed in that role, the more you will get promoted through the ranks. Because if you're sitting at a desk, yeah, and only you know, you're doing all the work, you know everything backwards,
yeah,
and nobody else can do it. So if there is a senior role and they say, hold on, you know, we have an operations manager role and surely be suited for that. Oh, geez, we can't. Sure, what are we doing credit control then? Are you with me?
Yeah.
So sometimes we go into a role, you have to make yourself dispensable. So they think by being indispensable, that's job security, that they can't live without me. Now they can. And I worked in companies where I thought I was indispensable and I left, and surprise, surprise, they're still in business. Yeah, and some of them might even be doing better. So on that basis, and particularly at a management level, and I used to do this, just playing games with myself. And if I had a project coming up in a couple of weeks' time that I knew I was going to be working on or whatever, I would say, okay, this week, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pretend I'm going on holidays for a fortnight. So what would I do if I was going on holidays for a fortnight? Like, what jobs would I get other people to do and who would do it? So let's do that. There's a guy called Ricardo Semler in Brazil who's a great role model as well. He discovered in his working life that his two most productive weeks of the year was the week before he went on holidays when he had to get everything finished, yeah? And the week after he came back because he was rested, relaxed and refreshed and got loads of work done, yeah? And do you know what he did? He took that to its absolutely illogical conclusion, and now he takes 2 weeks off every month.
Yeah.
2 weeks holidays every month, because he found the week before he went he was highly productive, and the week after he came back he was highly productive. So he now takes 2 weeks off every month, and he has his productive week, and that's it. That's brilliant, isn't it?
Being able to do it.
and he took over. His dad had a business in Brazil, and he was a sort of a college dropout and was just for the birds, but he was the only son, and the father who ran this factory for all the years asked him to take it over, and he would have nothing to do with it. He said, no, I'm not taking it over, I'm not into this corporate-y world and all the rest. So he went off and made the free thinker he was. The dad got sick and the company was, and he said, look, will you please come back and manage, because it's my life's work and I want to keep it going. And he came back and he said, okay, here's the deal. I will take the company over on one condition, that you butt out and leave me do whatever I want to do. Yeah, let me run it my way. That was the condition. And your man said, okay. And he got rid of meeting rooms. He got rid of desks, stand-up meetings. Took his 2 weeks holidays every month. And the company has grown 100-fold in the last 15 years. They are now worldwide, all over the world. It's called the Semler Corporation or something. And the company has just gone on a trajectory. They have meetings on the top of mountains with laptops. You know, he's off the wall. Absolutely, he's just turned the place around. Yeah. So anyway, so a lot of the traditional thinking, you know, and we have to be ahead of that. If we're going to survive, is that okay? So, and the secret of management, as far as I'm concerned, and that's the module, is to get the best out of the people who are reporting to you. That's your job as a manager. You are, you know, a coach and a mentor and all that kind of stuff. And it's just so important that we take that seriously and take that role. And I know that it used to be kind of a slag of me as well, and maybe I took it as it was given. I always treated my staff as my babies. They're mine. And when HR butt out, the finance director, no, this is my team. I look after them. I hire them, I fire them, I develop them, I let them go. I do whatever has to be done, and we hit the results every month. And we have a bit of crack doing it. And it's just a different attitude. Is that okay? So that's that. The other thing that I'll just remind you of as well is, do you remember in the managing the function, I had a system when people went on holidays?
Yeah.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that really works. Because yeah. If all your work falls on my desk, then my work is going to fall behind.
Yeah.
And one of my greatest fiascos was my most junior member of staff went on holidays. My most junior member of staff, I'll never forget. And she was going on holidays. And she, what did she do? She entered the cash and allocated it. And she printed invoices and that sort of, you know, clerically kind of work. And before I learnt this, and we just moved and we were all over the place. And she was going on holidays and we had a staff meeting and said, she's going on holidays. And I said, yeah, well, look, I'll take over her job while she's gone, you know. And that was done deal. It took her 7 hours a day. It took me 8 hours a day to do it. I was there till midnight.
That part of the job is not done in credit control.
Nothing can function.
Yeah. You don't know what's in.
No.
If the invoices are not gone out.
Yeah.
It's actually one of the most important jobs, even though it's a junior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it gave me such an appreciation of the role that she was doing there. And like, she was just a perfectionist now. She was far better at it than I was. And I'll never forget, you know, I just took on the role myself. I'll do that. You know, again, dismissive. And I regretted it. I was in at 7 in the morning trying to get cash up. So the credit controller said no. Yeah. So vital, vital. So yeah, it has to be managing. So in terms of, and that's where I came up with the sort of vacancy where each role is divided by the number of team members. And it got other people to see what other people were doing, and it created better understanding. And the other thing that, and maybe I'll incorporate this into future classes as well, in case I don't even read a book, I did a master's on management as well, you know, just because you're never too old to learn, apparently. And one of the things that really struck me is that, I can't remember who did the study, we retain something like 10% of what we hear and 20% of what we see and 90% of what we teach. So a lot of the new form of education is, you know, and I did it myself, it was fantastic, where what they did was they, 20 people, they got us into groups of four, I think it was, or four different groups. Okay, that was fine. And they gave the four of us a topic to discuss. So we were discussing the Data Protection Act, and somebody else was discussing the Money Laundering Act, or whatever the case may be, okay? So the five of us sat down and discussed it and went through it and all that kind of stuff. So then when we had finished the discussions, which lasted about 45 minutes, then we were the data protection experts. So then they split up the teams where there was one person from each of the teams together. So I had to teach the other four about data protection. Do you understand? So each person was a team member on a specific team, and each person then had to teach the others what they had learned. So each of the four people in the team was an expert on the topic that they discussed. And it was the best learning experience for all of us. Are you with me? So you got to learn and you got to teach, and you remember what you teach. So in terms of that facility of getting people to teach others what they do, they then start questioning what they're doing themselves, and it gives them a better understanding of it. Is that okay? So yeah, and it's a huge learning curve. So that's that. We're here on a revision day.
So learning.
The point. Look. Every day is a learning day. The point is though, I raised that team thing for a reason. Not just for a chat. Is that all right? So I would sort of revisit that and again, look, guys. That is on the audio as well. Yes,
sure
it is.
Answer.
Yeah, we're still on the audio, and we are still there. Is that okay? So, yeah. So we'll have a look at that. And again, because again it's a diploma course, you're not required to remember everything. You know, and certainly by all means, you are allowed. You are allowed what?
Put your own opinions.
Yeah, absolutely. And so just because I say it, if you say, look, yeah, this is the thing, and I've brought it to the next level, you know, because I'm cleverer than Deck is, and I can do this better. And if you can, I'm happy enough to do that as well. Is that okay? So if you can enhance it, then all the better. That's that. Just speaking of the review. You all did the review on the book, the Happy Customers.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, again, feel free to say yay or nay. I was talking to Marcel during the week in relation to it, and just giving the feedback saying, yeah, you know, there was a lot of positive comments. And he asked me a question. He said, would your students mind if I used, like if we took a line out of your review of the book and said, Jack McCarthy says this was great.
Yeah.
Now
try
I will. What?
Probably lying.
No, I didn't say that. Okay. So I just want to get your permission on that one. So what I'll do? Look, I'll pick the line and I'll send it to you. Say, look, this is the line I'm picking, and say yay or nay or whatever. But if you want to be, you know, I think they're doing a new version of the book or something. So you know the way they put. Nice comments in the front.
Very good book. Yeah. And do you think you will, is it going to be published, you know, in Ireland? And
it's on Amazon, is it not?
It's on Amazon,
I think it is.
Well, what he's done is, have it here. What has he done? Yeah, he's like this guy Marcel. He's a gas man. He's Dutch, and he's a good guy. But yeah, it is, and there's an Irish edition as well. But I will be getting more copies of it anyway. So the only thing that kills you with books, and I also have, did you see an electronic copy, or did you ever get it, of Mentorship?
No.
Have you seen or heard of that?
No.
Okay, we'll wait till after the exams. I'm not going to give you useless information. Remind me about that. It's another book called The Mentorship that I was lucky enough to be involved with. It comes from Canada. Two of my friends got together, senior old heads like myself, who've been around credit management, and what they did was they got 20 or 30 senior credit managers to share their war stories. You know, and it's called Mentorship because, you know, just the learning curves for them and the problems that they came across, you know, in their careers. And there's some nice little stories and nice little lessons in it as well from senior credit managers from around the world. So it's there. Now it's available free as a PDF download because it's meant for the benefit of credit people. I looked at they printed it, but it cost me a tenner to post it from Canada to here. So, you know, unless I can get somebody who's bringing a ship over or whatever, you know, that's that. So anyway, but look, it is there, and you have enough. Just focus on the material for the next 2 weeks. Ask me in 2 weeks' time, and I'll send it out to you. I enjoy reading it myself, but then I'm sad. You know that. So that's that. So then the final thing is DSOs. Yay. Yeah, so we know, and you know, that from the mock paper, that
there were two questions.
There are two questions on the real exam as well. Now, what I will promise you is I will give you better questions. I was tearing my hair out with the assignment, because I made a mess of the assignment. I didn't tell you what months they were,
yeah.
did I?
Yeah.
And some people said they were trying to
You were just saying, like,
how's everybody,
yeah.
everybody getting different answers here?
Yeah, it was
and
an
some
average
people averaged them. Yeah, so no, that was completely. It's only when I went to correct all the assignments I went, Dec, you're some genius now. So the way I framed, so I promised the exam.
Did anybody get them right?
But everybody got them right. But everybody got different answers, you know.
And nobody got the same
answer. They're going, what's going on here? And then I also, so I promise you in the real exam, because I didn't, yeah, I would give you the months.
I don't bother.
I don't bother. And I will also, I will also give you the methodology, because again, I didn't specify whether it was quarterly methods, reducing balance method or whatever. So everybody did their own. So from a correction perspective, it was an absolute nightmare, which might suggest why it took me so long to get around to some of them. Because that was one of my frogs that I kept putting off and putting on. You know, yeah, I must do that.
Do you still think that we'll still need to really, you know the quarterly and the annual method for the exam? I've kind of got my head around the countback method, but the other ones I'm just sort of...
Okay.
About what you're doing more, you know.
Yeah. No, well, hold on. From an operational perspective, the countback method is the most accurate. Okay, so if I was doing monthly reports, I would always use the countback method. In the questions, though, it will specify use the countback method. In terms of the quarterly method is. So like, for example, so all we do is we add the 3 months together and divide them by 90. Like, that's our 91. That's the quarterly method. The problem with that, and I want to explain this to you as well, is that if my sales, so we're in May, so say April, March, and February. So if my sales are 20 and 60, say, for example. So there's my sales in the 2 months. So on this basis, my quarterly sales are 100, and I divide it by, say, 91, so I get 1.2 per day, and my ledger is 70. So that's my ledger. So if I do it on the countback method, it is 30 plus 15 and a half, isn't it? So on the countback method, it is 45.5. Yeah? So that's my countback method. If I do it in a quarterly method and divide 70 by 1.2, I'm going to get 64 days. Do you understand? So the quarterly method is, I just add up the quarter sales and divide it by, you know, the number of days in 3 months. There can be big variances. And the reason for the variances is because there was very high sales in April. So if there's an upturn in sales, you know, our differentiation between sales, or if that was very low, then my quarterly method would be high and my reducing method. The reducing balance method is the accurate. There's no getting away from that. Quarterly is, because it's averaged out, it's more 2.5. And then the annual one, again, I just divide my annual sales by 365 to get 1 day sales, and then divide my ledger by that to find how many day sales does my ledger represent. Okay? So the fact that I've explained it, Karen, does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Yes, you will need to know the quarterly and the annual method. Okay. So
I think it was the variances that I find so hard, because then you question your figures.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm explaining how there can be a variance.
Uh-huh.
So and that's why I gave you this example here, where the current month sales are 3 times.
Yes.
So that will skew the quarterly and the annual. And again, if there is an exam question and there's 3 different methods, deliberately we'll choose the numbers that there will be a discrepancy between them, and you may be asked to explain them, and that's how you explain them if there is a variance. So if your sales are flat month on month on month on month, then quarterly, annual, or reduced balance will give you more or less an answer. If there's huge peaks and troughs, then, and just remember that always that the reducing balance method is the right way.
But the count back method.
Count back method, yeah. Reduce the balance, yeah. So, and we all, I think we all got the TSO. Is that, sorry?
No, we were just saying the 70 is the quarterly, right?
The 70.
Is the 70,
yeah, yeah. No, I'm saying the ledger, I'm just giving the example here. The ledger balance is 70. So if the ledger balance is 70, if I do it on the count back method, or reduce the balance method, I get 45.5 days. If I do it by the quarterly method, I get 64 days. So, because it's gone off the Richter scale.
Dick, can you see the way your count back method was 45.5 days? Do you always round it when you stay, or do you leave it with the...
Whichever. No, it doesn't.
Do you either?
I'd probably do one place the decimal. Because if I have 45.1 and 45.9, I can tell whether it's getting better or worse. I wouldn't go any more than one place a decimal, you know, so, and if you have 45, or if it's 45.5, if you're 46, like, that's right. So it's not, you know, we're not getting it down to seven places a decimal. So, again, it depends on the variance. So if, you know, it's 62 and it's 64 and it's 66, then fair enough. But if I am sort of getting it down, you know, where it's 32.6, 32.8, then I would bring it down to the point just to see if the month is getting better or worse. If it's all over the place, then fair enough. Is that okay? So that's that. So the questions, so calculating DSOs, nobody had any trouble with that. We know how to do it. We just subtract until we get to the end of it. Where we did have some problems was the, you know, if we want to reduce it by 2 or 3.
Yeah,
I found that
kind
a bit
tough
more.
To
yeah.
Do.
Yeah. So again, do the question in the order that you want. So the first thing is to calculate the DSOs. So we calculate it by reducing balance, and we say now our DSOs are 33 or whatever the case may be. So here is the logic of this. So say I've calculated my DSO is 61. So I've done the sums, my DSO is 61 for the end of April. And I need to reduce it by 3 for the end of May. So at the end of May, I want to have them down to 58. Now what we have to remember is that May sales, no matter what I sell in May, is going to be 31 days. Yeah? So if I have to get a 58 DSO at the end of May, and I know there's 31 days in May, then I have to bring my current ledger down to 27 days. Yeah?
Yeah.
And if there is 30 days in April, then I can divide that by 30, multiply by 27. That's how much I can leave. Is that all right? So, and then I just subtract that from the balance I'm owed at the end of April, and I have to collect the difference. So if I leave 27 days outstanding on my current ledger, plus the 31 days in May, that would get me to my 58. Does that, you know, going backwards at it rather than forwards? Yes or no? Now, the good news is you don't have to do either of these questions if you don't like. I just feel, as a diploma holder in credit management, part of accountants love DSOs. They still do, and you know my thoughts. I hate them with a passion. I still recognise, though, that all other things being equal, it is a measure of the success of a credit department. So if, you know, my DSOs are going down, all other things being equal,
you should be able to answer the question if it's asked of you, and that's,
yes,
that's
you should.
Why
yeah.
I kind of want to get it in my head.
And just apart from the exam altogether, I hope you do know that I have a spreadsheet that'll do it for you. Did you know that?
Send it off.
send it on the day before.
You can't bring spreadsheets or phones or laptops into the exam, which, that'll be cheating.
Would the question be the method and then be adjusted?
No, the question would be very much like the assignment in terms of this is the ledger, this is the sales for the last 3 months. Right. What's the DSO?
Right.
Except it will tell you what the months are and it will tell you the method. So it'll be, so for accurate calculation, it will be probably the count back method. If you want to choose it by two, what is it? If you want to choose it by five, what is it? What you have to collect. So that's one question.
It's something we should know, maybe.
Yes, I agree. Because it would be expected of you. And that's that. And I did tell you there was two questions. The second question might be reducing balance quarterly, annual, and explain the difference between the three. Right? And now you know how to explain the difference. Is that okay? So, look, there's no mystery. The reason I'm so adamantly against DSO as a measure is that if my sales reps go out and now decide to get a brainstorm and give everybody 60 days credit, which they can. And that's fine, and if that's from a commercial perspective what we need to do, then that's what we need to do. I don't have a problem with that. The problem I have is if I get beaten up at the next finance meeting because my DSOs have gone up by two, I'm saying, but lads, of course, we're giving extra terms to people, and if we're giving extra credit, it's going to reflect in the ledger. So it's not so much the DSO figure itself, it's the underlying assumption that low is good and high is bad. That's what I have a problem with. Yeah. Because to a large extent, giving extended credit to customers is not within my control.
We could have a massive contract for like Tesco's or whatever, and we'll pay you 60 days from end of month.
Yeah. And now I have 2 months outstanding, and my DSOs are gone through the roof, and
then finance your ledger balance is bigger as well.
Yeah, of course it is, because but our sales we're doing well, and that's why I think DSOs alone says, "Ooh, why are your DSOs going up?" Because we've.
Would you be able to send us the answers to the questions 7 and 8 so we can check what we've done, just to make sure that they're right?
Would I do that?
Yeah,
would that be all right?
Sort of
on this,
practice.
Yeah. Because I've done them, but you just want to get that confidence that you're happy that they're done.
Okay. Like, should you always kind of use your DSO with your accounts receivable? You know, do they both like use the key measures from each? Do you know, say like if your DSO, I don't know, was going up and then your accounts receivable were going down or something?
No, you can't. Well, the only way your DSOs go up and your accounts receivable go down is if you're not collecting the money.
Yeah.
If you're, so that's where.
Selling.
It could be, yeah. Now with the reducing balance method or the count back method, whatever you want to call it, then like why I like that is that no matter what we sell, if we sell 1 million or 100 grand in May or tenner, it's still 31-day sales. So that's why this takes the up and down in sales out of the equation.
Right.
There are other ways of doing it now that if there's a good sales month, the DSOs goes up. But again, you know my thoughts as well. Percentage within terms is my favourite way of doing it. Percentage in terms. And now if I have a 60-day or a 90-day Tesco contract, that's within terms for 90 days. Yeah, so if I'm reporting on, you know, my percentage within terms, then I don't care what the salespeople do.
And
it's a more positive way of spinning it. And the fact that I'm talking about percentage within terms, I'm focusing on stuff I want, not stuff I don't want, which I am with overdues. And also what's very important, and I think I mentioned this in the Profit Secret book as well, my graph is going up. Because if I'm doing a good job, my percentage within terms is increasing. And senior managers like to see graphs going up. Whereas if I'm calculating DSOs, and I'm doing a great job, my graph is going down, and they get nervous. Yeah? So, from if you can get away with it, to extol the virtues of percentage within terms. And being the sad person I am, I have a spreadsheet to do that as well.
Have you got one?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Before the exam.
I can organise. Well, now, I don't think, it's percentage, that's not on the course, so.
No.
But we need to sort of, you know, judge that as well. So I think that's that. So you want me to send you the solutions to question the mock?
Yeah,
so solutions. I'll send you the spreadsheets, yeah.
Okay.
So, and it's a really nice DSO calculator, and how it works is all you put in is the date, the ledger balance, and the last 3 months sales, and it then, and I have two different tabs on the spreadsheet. One is if your DSOs are below 60, and then the second tab is if they're above 60, because if you're into 120 day credit, my first spreadsheet just works on the last 2 months sales, and the other one works on a kind of it's less accurate. So I have that. I think it's up to 60 and over 60. So you can have it and use it, and incorporate it into your reports. And if there is ever anything like that, guys, you know, give me a shout. Because I have a myriad of spreadsheets, and it just annoys me they're sitting on my laptop, because they're no good to anybody sitting there. So, and even if there's something that you have to calculate on a regular basis, are you with me? Like interest on late payments or something of that nature, that's a pain in the neck trying to work out the rate on the day of the whatever. Just even drop me an email and say, Jack, have you a spreadsheet to calculate interest? And if I have, I'll attach it and send it back to you. In fact, not only do I have a Euro one that goes through the interest rate since 2002, the ECB interest rates from 2002, that will automatically pick it up based on the invoice date. I went and did a sterling one as well, based on the Bank of England rate. Yeah. See, I'm a very sad person. And if there is stuff that you're doing on a monthly basis that's a pain in the neck, then that'll be a challenge some Saturday when they're all watching telly. Yeah, sit there on my laptop and think, how can I do this? Yeah, so I'll do that for you. Is that okay? And any of the risk stuff that you did in the certificate, you know, all those comparative analysis and all that kind of good stuff. Again, I have all spreadsheets that I didn't share with you because you have to do the sums for the cert. But I have spreadsheets that'll do it for you and rank them 1, 2, 3 and all that. If
you
want.
Can you send me on some of them? Because I tried to build them and it just takes so long.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It just takes so long.
The only thing that I will ask you to do is to appreciate the formula in working out the 1, 2, 3s.
Yeah.
It took me hours. Because you know the way when you're doing if formulas?
Yeah.
But if formulas can be complicated.
Yeah.
But if it's if this, then that, and if that, then this, then it gets very complicated. And if you have to build 3 variables into your spreadsheet, so when you see the formulas, just I want you to be impressed. Yeah. It took me bloody hours. And they work. Is that okay? So the DSO spreadsheet, interest, do you have that or do you use it? You don't use it. Use it. I'm telling you, it's the best collection tool of all. If I owe you money for 6 months and you're promised you and yeah, and you're ringing and I'm saying, oh yeah, I look after it and blah, blah, blah. I guarantee you, send me a bill for £500 for interest and admin charges. Yeah, and watch the reaction you get.
Even if you don't get it.
You probably won't get it. Like, let's not be stupid.
It's the reaction that
it's the reaction. What's this? That's your interest.
Yeah.
And if you ever hand an account to a debt collector or to a legal firm, because we're afraid to charge interest in case it'll damage the relationship. You know, if I'm handing you to a solicitor or a debt collector, I don't care about the relationship.
Yeah.
Right? So I would always add the interest charges. You can charge admin charges, interest from the first overdue date, and bump, and then I'm suing you for the whole lot. So if the debt is a year old and it's a grand, then I would send you an £800 bill. And if it's a £10,000 bill, I can charge you £100 admin fee on it as well within the law, send you a bill for £600. And then when I'm suing you, I'll sue you for the whole lot. And I'm within my rights legally to get. And it's just a way of recouping some of your legal costs as well. But it's from a collection perspective, it's the reaction. And what you can do is, if you wrote off stuff 4 years ago, yeah, just send them an interest bill, bump. Ah, yeah, that's still there. You have to pay interest on EU regulation 2002, interest is chargeable. The only thing is, it's commercial transactions, late payment on commercial transactions. So if you're dealing with consumers, you cannot charge them interest.
Yeah,
you have to
be
only on business to business. So if you're dealing with companies, yes, you can. If you're dealing with individuals, you have to be regulated by ISRA to charge interest and all that kind of stuff. Is that okay?
Yeah.
You know what's going to be on the exam now, don't you?
Yeah.
So you know the areas to revise and do. And look, good luck with it. I'm going to hit pause here so you can ask questions without being recorded.